Today's reading is from Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 33, and can be found on page 820 in the Pew Bible. Jesus walks on the water. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." May God bless this reading.
Let's share our prayer together. Heavenly Father, we humbly bow in your presence. May your word be our rule, your spirit our teacher, and your great glory our supreme concern, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Okay. The newspaper headlines shouted, "Crisis! What crisis?" It was back in January 1979, and the Prime Minister of the time appeared unconcerned about the situation in the country, which the newspapers were describing as crisis. Indeed, it became known as the winter of discontent. Well, today, the crisis raging around us makes that winter of discontent seem like a pleasant summer day. We hear too often about the Brexit crisis. The only reason we're not hearing every day about a crisis in the government is they're all on holiday. Every time the US president touches his mobile phone, there's a crisis. And now, even now, the General Assembly have decided that there's a crisis in the church. Our Kirk Session, together with every Kirk Session in the land, has been instructed to meet in conference to discuss the state of the church. Sounds like a crisis. Constant decline since 1955. Now you do the math, that's 63 years to work out there's a crisis. Within 4 years, they reckon there's only going to be 600 ministers in the whole church. Income is falling. We have rapidly declining membership. Crisis, then, is not too strong a word. It's time to do something. A small boat in a big storm sounds like a crisis. It's time to do something. Fear is a classic and often repeated response to a crisis. Most often, when a frightening and troubling situation comes upon us, we are frozen in fear. If the disciples in our story were afraid of the storm, they were positively terrified and cried out in fear when they saw Jesus walking upon the water. I think the disciples were afraid because Jesus wasn't with them. As disciples, have we not learned to trust him, to love his presence, to rejoice when he is with us? His perfect love for us drives out all fear. The disciples in our story were afraid because they were struggling to sail the boat on their own. No disrespect, but I don't imagine the tax collector disciple was much use. But there was a fair number of experienced fishermen about. And we can imagine them saying, "We know how to do this. We've got it all under control." They tried to do it by themselves. As disciples, haven't we learned yet? We can't do it on our own. We need Jesus to do it for us. The disciples in our story were afraid because they didn't recognize Jesus. When they saw a figure walking on the waves, their first thought was, "It's a ghost." As disciples, do we not know the whole purpose of our discipleship is to recognize Jesus, to know him, more and more each day, to worship him? The first cure for fear, the first response in a crisis needs to be that we hear Jesus speaking. That's the first thing that happens in the midst of this crisis in the boat. Jesus speaks. "I am. It is I. Don't be afraid." Mentioned this before, but there are 365 verses with the phrase, "Don't be afraid," in the Bible, one for every day of the year. We might think we're on our own, but we're not. We might think we need to do it all by ourselves, but we don't. Just because we don't recognize Jesus with us doesn't mean that Jesus isn't there. He is. He is. We're not on our own. We don't need to do it all by ourselves. There are better ways to respond to a crisis than by fear. Okay, Kirsty. Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." Can you imagine Jesus held out his hand? He said, "Okay, come on." Crisis makes a loud noise in our ears. It drowns out other sounds all around us. In the midst of the storm, the only thing we can hear is the storm. And maybe you've experienced that in times of crisis in your own life. Folks are saying helpful things, but you can't hear them because of the noise of the turmoil. But somehow, all we need to hear is Jesus saying one word, "Come, come." There are times when it seems to us that Jesus is not with us. We look around for him and we don't recognize his presence with us. Why do we so quickly imagine that Jesus has abandoned us? That seems often to be our first thought. Here I am in trouble, I'm looking around and Jesus isn't there. Perhaps he's just a little bit in front of us. Perhaps he's just standing a wee bit ahead and saying, "Come. In the midst of this storm, come to me." In the midst of the storm, we read that Jesus came to his disciples walking on the sea. There is no sea, there is no storm, there are no waves that will keep Jesus away from his disciples. It's impossible to imagine anything that will hinder or restrain Jesus from coming to you. The Lord who exchanged the glory of heaven for the friendship of the lost has come, is present now, and will always come to be with you. He comes, he calls, he pleads, he invites us. Come, Come to me, he says. The only possible way there can be a crisis in the church is when we stop hearing Jesus calling us in the storm. When in fact we stop answering Jesus and stop coming to him. But you may say, Jesus is calling us out into the storm. He's actually calling us into the waves. Yes. Yes, he is. There's an ancient picture for the church as a ship. Maybe you've heard of this in the past. The fathers pictured the church as a ship. A ship can be perfectly safe in the harbor, tied up at the side. But the ship wasn't made for the harbor. The ship was made for the open seas, where the waves toss and the wind blows. That's where the ship is supposed to be. We're not meant to be tied up in a harbor, safe and at home. We're meant to be out in the wind and the waves. And that's where Jesus calls us. It's not stupid to walk in the waves to Jesus, because Jesus is the one who's calling us. And we need to come to him. There is no storm-free path to come to Jesus. We can't come to him except on top of the waves. You might think that sounds stupid. I'm not walking out into a storm on top of the waves for anyone. Perhaps you're remembering that you've tried this once before, but then you saw the waves and you were afraid and you began to sink. When Peter began to sink, he called out, "Lord, save me," and immediately Jesus saved him. If you think you can walk on the water, you can't. Maybe that's not news to you, but we need to say it to ourselves over and over again. If you think in any and in every crisis you need to struggle on by yourself because you're able to do it, you're not. You can't. You can't manage on your own. You weren't made to manage on your own. If you try, the waves will get you. Jesus hasn't come for the strong. Jesus hasn't come for the able. Jesus hasn't come for the successful. He's come for the weak and the needy and the lost. Jesus has come for those who are in a crisis and who know they're in a crisis. That's why Jesus is called Savior, the one who saves. He wouldn't be the Savior if we didn't need saved. When we answer Jesus' call and step out onto the waves, we are putting ourselves in a place where we know we can't do it by ourselves. All we can do is call out to Jesus and depend upon him to save us. When will we learn that our lives as disciples of Jesus depend entirely upon Jesus? Our life as a congregation, as a church, can be lived only depending upon Jesus. We can't do it ourselves. Only Jesus can hold us up. Only Jesus can save us. So when you're afraid of the waves, call out to Jesus. When the storm rages around you, call out to Jesus. The nations around Israel thought of the seas as raging chaos monsters. In creation, the Father of the Lord Jesus tamed those raging chaos monsters and stilled the waters. When he walks upon the sea, the Lord Jesus demonstrates his ultimate power over every crisis, over every chaos. When you need help, call out to the one who's already walking on the water. Call out to the one who's already demonstrated his great power. Call out to Jesus. We only remain in crisis. We only sink in fear when we don't call out to Jesus. Let the storm rage. Let the winds blow. When we call to Jesus, He will save us. He will answer. And those in the boat worshipped Him, saying, "Truly, You are the Son of God." When we worship Jesus as Lord, we grow in knowing Him. We grow in recognizing Him. Worship is the answer to fear. When we get a clear sight of Jesus, how can we not worship? The One who came for us, who left heaven and descended to be with us. The One who died and conquered death. The One who rose in triumph over every enemy. The One who is now raised to the highest place, given the name above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every enemy will bow. Worship is the goal, the purpose of our discipleship. We are saved by Jesus so that we might become worshipers of Jesus. Crisis is a state where worship is timid, hesitant, or even silent. Fear hardens our hearts, quietens our praise, hushes our prayers. We don't worship in the place of fear. We don't worship in the boat. We worship out on the water. We worship in the face of the waves because Jesus triumphs over the waves. Of course, we will live in fear if we don't recognize Jesus, if we don't acknowledge Him as the One who saves, the One who is worthy of our worship. When we worship, His love overwhelms us. His love drives out our fear. Why should we live in fear when we can worship Jesus, the wave-walking Savior? If you're in the boat, you're afraid of the storm. And you're right to be afraid of the storm so long as you're in the boat. Because the storm's going to get the boat and sink it. But if you're out on the water, if you're walking towards Jesus on the water, the wind can't stop you and the waves won't pull you down so long as you keep your eyes fixed on Him, so long as you call out to Jesus. Water walking faith is something new which the Lord calls us to, something we have never done before apart from Jesus. Water walking faith is where we need to be. The old ways of being church and being disciples aren't working anymore. Our nation is not being impacted for Jesus. We need water walking disciples who are going to stand out from the crowd and be noticed, who are going to live for Jesus wherever they are, who are going to make a difference. Because they are already different from everyone else. They're the ones walking on the waves. Water walking faith is dependent, something we can't do for ourselves. We can't live as disciples of Jesus in our own strength. We can't serve the mission of God in this place with our own clever ideas or schemes or gimmicks. We need to walk on the water and follow Jesus, our Lord, where He leads us. Water-walking faith is focused upon Jesus. Take your eyes off Him and it just doesn't work anymore. Lives given in worship, days of prayer, hours of kindness and service. All of this adds up to transformed lives. Water-walking faith lives of water-walking disciples. And perhaps it really is as simple as that. We've stopped trusting Jesus. We aren't taking risks for Him anymore. We're not doing the brave and courageous things that Jesus is calling us to do. We're not answering His call, and we haven't answered it for years. Our cold hearts are not worshiping Him as He deserves. Perhaps now's a season for us all to get out of the boat If you look up and you see Jesus before you, and in between you and Jesus, you see the edge of the boat, you're still in the wrong place. You need to lift up your eyes and see Jesus and nothing between you and him but the waves. We need to get over that side of the boat. We need to get out on the waves. We need to trust him and follow him. The world is waiting for water-walking disciples to trust Jesus, because that's the only way the world's going to hear of Jesus, the Savior, who comes for us all. So why not then get out of the boat? Why not walk towards our Savior across the waves, and let's see what he will do with our wave-walking discipleship? Let's pray together. Father, we are humbled before you. Humbled before your power and your love. You love us so much that Jesus has come for us to be our Savior. And we want to walk with him. And if that means we need to do things that scare us, if that means we need to take risks and we need to learn how to be brave, we want to do that for your glory. Because we want to get out of the boat so that we can walk with Jesus. Fill us with your Spirit. Burn within us that we might risk these great things for you and the glory of your name. Father, hear us as we pray these things through Jesus our Lord. Amen.